Hello, you're listening to What the Faux Travel Podcast with Nick and Amy. This is Series 2, Episode 3, and it's called When in Rome. When in Rome, do I still romance you? Far
from home, all I got is you. Welcome along to the What the Faux Travel Podcast. You are part of the Faux family now, and I respect family.
If you can't tell by now, that's a great impression
of
The Godfather.
I was going to say Jon from Moldova.
What?
Producer Jon, sound like him.
And why am I doing an impression of The Godfather? One, because it's an Italy show, but two?
Because it just ticks off my bucket list.
We've just watched The Godfather 1 and 2. We're one of the weird people that have never seen it, but we think it's a classic, we have to watch it. People are going to judge me for saying this. They are so fucking boring.
Yeah, there's one time someone died and then...
Oh, at one point, I said to Amy, I lost track, said, what's happened, Amy? You're like, I think the Godfather's died. Next scene, there he is. So no, I just think we probably weren't in the mood, but it's so long and it's just, I couldn't get on board of it.
Nah, not into that one.
Sorry, mate.
You're listening to What the Faux Travel Podcast and you're in with Nick and Amy, as usual. And this one's all about Rome.
Yes, hello guys, thanks for joining us again.
And let's get straight to it. So what are the shout-outs for this month?
This month's shout-outs are vis-a-vis the following. This month's shout-out go to Simon Oram. He contacted us on Instagram. He listened to our Budapest episode and he's actually off to Budapest very shortly. He'll be back by now, so I hope you had a good trip and thanks for listening to the show, Simon.
Was that Oram or Ornum?
Oram. What did I say?
You said Oram, but I thought it might have been Ornum, like the Ornum festival we went to in
Happy
India.
Ornum.
Happy Ornum.
And also, we heard from Ian and Steph. They're from the Life Unedited blog, and they contacted us via Facebook, and they said they're glad they found the show, they enjoyed it, and they can relate to a lot of what we're saying. At the time that they contacted us, they were in India, and we read some of their blog, and I'd really recommend it. It was a really good read, especially when they were talking about the Kathakali dancer.
Yeah, this is actually so good.
Yeah, because they had the same opinion we did. They thought it was shit, and they just ripped the shit out of it, and we were laughing.
Not to culture bash there. It was shit.
Well, yeah, not everything's good when you're traveling, is it? But we thought it was just a really good, honest blog, and we really enjoyed it. But yeah, thanks for listening to the show, guys.
Nice one. Okay, so like we said, this episode is about Rome, and we always have to start with a game show facts, but just before that, just to explain what we did. So we went to Rome for the weekend, well, literally a day, didn't we? So we tried to do Rome in a day. We'll explain that a little bit later as well, but we did make a video which will be going up online, so you can check that out on all of our socials at What the Faux Travel Podcast. So Nick, kick off with our bucket list then. Where did that come from?
Where did that come from?
Kick off with game show facts.
And yet, like you said, this is about Rome, not necessarily about Italy. We'll do that later on, but this is just about Rome. So Rome facts. Amy, lay that music on me. Rome, pronounced Roma, is the capital of Italy. With a population of 3 mil, it is also the country's largest and most populated city. The city is located in the central western area of Italy. Vatican City, where the Pope lives, is an independent country geographically located within the city boundaries of Rome. This is the only existing example of a country within a city. For this reason, Rome has been often defined as the capital of two states. While Roman mythology dates the founding of Rome as around 753 BC, the site has been inhabited for much longer. The city successfully became the capital of the Roman Kingdom, the Roman Republic, and the Roman Empire, and is regarded as one of the birthplaces of Western civilization. The Roman Empire was one of the largest empires in world history. At its height, it covered a territory composed of 48 nations, and it held sway over an estimated 70 million people. At that time, 21% of the world's entire population. The average life expectancy of a Roman was only about 25. However, this did not mean that no one lived into old age. This low average age was affected by the number of women who died giving birth and by high infant mortality. If a Roman made it to maturity, they were likely to live as long as people in the modern Western world. The Romans were a bloodthirsty bunch. Watching gladiator fights to the death between slaves was entertainment. Monuments such as the Colosseum are among the world's most visited tourist destinations, receiving millions of tourists every year.
Amazing game show facts as usual, Nick. Well done.
Pretty good. And I've also got some Roman inventions, which is quite a good one.
Sweet.
So, this is glamorous. Sewers and sanitation.
Okay.
roads and highways. Early surgery, like they started cutting people open.
Really? Because we've watched that TV series, The Nick.
Oh yeah, it's a good program, but no, that's like...
But I thought they did early surgery. They were like doing stuff on cocaine and all of that.
Yeah, but the Romans was way before then.
I know, but what I'm saying is, right. I thought, although, okay.
The Romans started cutting people open, basically. And written news, aka newspapers.
Okay.
Awesome.
What did they write them on? Like stone
or
something?
Yeah, I think it actually was on stone, yeah. And speaking of stone, concrete. They invented concrete.
Love it. Okay, so they are pretty clever people.
They're pretty good. Yeah, amazing stuff.
So let's talk about spears, poo and garlic.
Okay, do you want to explain what the hell you mean by that?
So we did something really fucking cool in Italy or Rome, but we will tell you a bit about that in a few minutes. Let's kind of talk about our trip. So like I said earlier, we went to Rome, literally tried to do it in a whole day and then came back the following morning.
And the reason for that was just the way the flights were timed, because we flew late Friday night. We didn't arrive till like midnight and our flight home was Sunday morning. So pretty much we just had Saturday to do as much as we could.
Yeah, so we not only had to run around like headless chickens around Rome trying to find things, be places on time, because we had a certain appointments, two different tours in one day. Well, actually, technically, we did three tours
in one day.
But we also had to do some filming because we made a film, didn't we? Which I'm very excited to put up on social media.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, check out our YouTube channel, yeah.
The thing that we did that was super cool, and shout out to Carl Watson, who's been on two of our episodes. Obviously, he was on our last episode with James Walsh as well. Shout out to that episode. So definitely go listen to it if you haven't already done so, because it was one of our favourites to record, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was good fun.
We know about this tour because of him, don't we?
Yeah.
So it's in one of his videos. You go on a gladiator tour. So you learn how to be a gladiator. You kind of go through a museum with one of a real life gladiator. Yep, what they actually exist.
Yeah, like, we'll explain in a bit, but that's a real thing, a gladiator.
I didn't think that was a thing anymore. And he sort of takes us around this museum and taught us how they used to live and all of that and how they used to train. Then you do your training and then you only have a bloody fight with each other. It's amazing.
Yeah, and you start with like wooden swords and then you end up with proper like metal swords.
Yeah, we were on the tour with some kids that we don't even know.
We actually were.
When we turned up, I was like, Nick, is this a kid's tour? What are you doing to me?
It's for adults as well. There was us and this American family. They had like six kids. How many kids did they have?
I know. Yeah, a lot. So they didn't actually get to fight with real swords, and you could tell the boys were just gutted by that. But we had a proper fight. It was great.
So let's explain. So what happened then with gladiator school and how we booked it?
Yeah, okay. I was going to go straight into the spears, poo and garlic, but...
we'll get to that. Good stuff.
How did we book it? Through Viator?
Yeah, so you can find the company somewhere online, but I couldn't. So we just use Viator. They're everywhere. And then when we arrived, we got into Rome, kind of city central, went to the nearest tube station, got a taxi. It wasn't very far to this place. And when we first got there, it's like this weird kind of, I don't know, log kind of cabin in the middle of nowhere.
It was really weird, kind of like an industrial thing.
Yeah, some sort of industrial estate.
To show you how weird it was, later on we were told that the road you have to go down to get to it was actually a Roman road. It was built by the Romans, which is pretty impressive. Yeah.
So then we got there, and first of all, we had a guide who showed us around this kind of Roman museum, and he explained a few things to us, didn't he? So actually, we were there for 2 hours, I think. The first hour is all... It's a bit like driving tests. The first hour is all theory. And then the second hour is actually you get to do something.
But that kind of makes it sound a bit boring. I was actually really interested. It wasn't just theory, because you got to dress up as a Roman or as a gladiator.
Yeah. I put this helmet on, and I'm sure we'll put a picture online. It's so fucking heavy, this helmet. I don't know how people were able to fight while wearing this thing. You could hardly see anything. But anyway, he explained what gladiators are, I suppose. And if you haven't seen the Russell Crowe film, then you probably won't know. But gladiators are slaves. So it's not like a voluntary thing you can do to be famous. Gladiators are slaves that have been caught in battle or whatever. And the owners of the slave will try and make money from them by, making them fight. And it is a proper fight to the death.
But what you just said isn't strictly true, actually, because what we did learn is that when you are a slave and you have been a gladiator for a while, you can work your way up to being a free man. Yeah. And then you can actually fight as a gladiator for yourself and earn money. But when you get to that professional level, you don't do it to the death.
Yeah,
it's only entertainment, yeah.
Yeah, so like you said, after 10 fights, you're then a free man. So if you survive 10 fights, you're then free. But these fights can be against other people. The fights can be against lions, like all sorts. Like,
it's
seriously
crazy.
And the Romans love watching this stuff, and they're sick in the head.
Yeah.
They fucking loved it.
And if you've been to the Colosseum, you'll know that when you're on the inside, you can see what was under the floor in the centre. And it's all kind of like a maze, isn't it? And that's where they used to keep their animals and the slaves and the gladiators and all of that, all in the same kind of section.
A lot of these gladiators, you know, these slaves, depending on from where in the world they're from, they've never would have seen a lion before. Like, you don't just Google it.
That's so true.
And they'll imagine coming up, you know, fighting against this big animal, and you're like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
You would shit yourself.
So we learned stuff like that in our theory as well, not to sort of ruin it all, because we would love you guys to go, because it's definitely worth it when you're in Rome.
Yeah.
But the things that we learned was when they was in battle, they used to kill lions and put them over their head, because if you think about it, back in those days, there's no Google or Instagram. So yeah, like you said, you would never have seen an animal like that before. So they kill it and have the animal on them just to scare their opponent.
Yeah. So as well as gladiators, we learned a lot about kind of the Roman Empire in general, like the Roman army. And because, like I said in my game show facts, they took over like a lot of countries. And at one point, if you look on a map, pretty much all the Mediterranean, like all of South Europe and then all North Africa, the Romans back then, they kind of ruled all that area. And again, there's no like transport, there's no planes, so they kind of walked and marched everywhere. They ruled the UK as well, apart from some parts of Scotland. But the guy was telling us how the Romans were so successful, because I don't know if you remember, he was saying that they weren't actually big, strong guys, the Romans. They were just very, very clever.
And they were. Like, even some of the things that he told us now blows my mind.
Yeah.
How they came up with it.
Example.
Spears, poo and garlic. That is what we've come to.
Yeah, so go on then.
So they built these spears that were kind of in two parts. So once they threw the spear, obviously you'd think, well, if it misses someone, one of the opponents can just pick that up and chuck it back at you and kill you. So they needed it to be a one-time thing. So it was in two parts. Once they threw it and it got stuck in the ground, it would break into parts. So they couldn't then pick it up and chuck it back.
Amazing.
That is really bloody clever. And also, you've got to think about using your resources. They weren't that rich. Well, they were rich back like in those sort of times, but they didn't have a lot of resources. So what do you always have as a human being?
Shit.
Poo.
Poo.
Poo. So what they used to do is smear the spear. That should be one of our games.
Yeah.
They used to smear it with
Now I'm thinking of smear tests.
Oh.
So carry on.
Okay, I'm going to skip past that. They used to smear the spear and then they used to chuck it. And then obviously if it did hit someone, they would just be infected and...
Yeah, poo on the end of the smear... Oh my God. Poo on the end of the spear. Yeah, so yeah, like you said, if it stabs you, you get poo inside you and you think, oh, no big deal. But then a day or two later, it's infected.
Exactly. So even if they don't get you a critical place like your heart or your head, if they catch your arm, you're still going to die because it's infected. The same goes for garlic as well. Now, we didn't know this.
This
blew
my mind.
It's so clever. So they put garlic on the end of it because garlic is a blood thinner or an antithrombotic. So they used to cover the spear, chuck it, and then again, even if they didn't hit you at a critical point in your body, you just bleed for days. So you die.
Yeah. Yeah. Your blood won't clot. It's
it won't
amazing.
Clot.
Yeah, who knew that garlic does that? People cook with garlic and they also like slice garlic, don't they?
Yeah.
So you've got to be careful.
Can you imagine if you cut yourself while cutting garlic and then the garlic got in your skin?
Yeah, exactly.
You'd die from cooking dinner.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just mental. We should know this.
Yeah.
It should be in basic cooking lessons.
Yeah, I never knew that, but the Romans knew it and yeah, they used it to their advantage. Yeah, they had all sorts of different battle tactics and they were just very clever and very strategic. And that's how they defeated so many countries and ruled a big part of the world for a long time.
So we won't say any more about the theory side of things because we want you to go to this when you go to Rome. It's definitely worth it. But after that, you go outside, you get dressed up again as a gladiator. You put sort of red robes on and the rope around your waist.
Yeah, not very flattering.
No. And plus, mine was like 5 sizes too big as well. It was literally a dress. And then you meet your second gladiator, who was a real gladiator. That is his full-time job. So he works here and he also fights for a living.
Yeah.
Obviously not till the death. This one is like an entertainment one again.
Well, yeah, like most commonly for most people, WWF or WWE. That's basically what it is in Italy. They are gladiators.
Yeah, so our gladiator was called Mirko, but his Latin or like his gladiator name was Gannicus. And he thought you were a very good fighter.
Yes, he said it himself. You watched a video for proof. He says, good job, Nick. You are a really good fighter.
He loved you, didn't he? Every time you did something, he was like, ah, very good, very good.
We need you, yeah. But so, yeah, he took us through some warm-ups. We just did, like, stretching and, like, star jumps and push-ups. And at first we're thinking, like, is this really the kind of thing we wanted to do? Like, this is a bit lame.
Yeah.
And then we had to run, like, under some ropes. And
that was quite fun. You had to dodge, like, the sandbags.
Dodge the sandbags, do, like, a forward roll on the floor.
Some somersaults. It was great.
Then once we were warmed up, he showed us, like, some kind of moves with the sword.
Some basic movements.
Yeah, and, like, how to defend and how to attack. And yeah, you said basic movements. I'm going to warn you guys now, in the interview we're about to play, he says the word busy moments quite a lot.
Busy moments.
But he means basic movements.
Yeah, he has the best accent in the world though. Like, because when we were talking to him, he was saying how much he likes the English accent. I was like, mate, like, you don't even need to talk about the English one. Let's talk about yours. It's so sexy.
That's true.
Sorry, Nick.
No, I can't deny. Italians, yeah. But then once we were warmed up, we learned some moves. We then fought each other, didn't we?
We did. And we're going to let you find out who won by watching the video.
Yeah, check out the vid. One of us ends up on the floor. But
as
I'm not
usual.
I'm not going to tell you which one. But I'm not going to tell you which one. You got to watch the video.
Yeah, so like we said, we'd spoke to Gannicus, or Mirko, and this is what he had to say for himself.
My Latin name is Gannicus, the friend of Spartacus.
So you're actually a real life gladiator, right?
Yes, we do real training. We translate Latin book, we experiment, sweep on armors, everything. And we do free fight between us, experiment everything.
So when you have like your real fights, are you in a coliseum like they used to do, or is it in a more modern place?
We used to fight in amphitheaters, but even in modern place for show the people how they fight, how they do for survive.
And so that's your job?
Yes, it's like a job because we do a real job. We do this for passion, for Rome, because we have a big passion for Rome. And for gladiator, for fight.
Cool. So we've just been to your gladiator school, which was really, really good fun. Can you explain to our listeners exactly what you do when you come to gladiator school?
When they come to the gladiator school, first we explain weapon armors about the first century, because we represent the first century. And then we explain the real basic movements for attack and for defend. Basic steps for the gladiator. Everything is about basic movements. It's very important. It's a training for the bodies and for your minds, because it is mean. They do many hours per day and they do both training for bodies and minds. So they take care about the bodies, but even about the reflexes and vision.
Okay, and what's the name of the company?
Gruppo Storico Romano.
Okay, and to come here, you just have to book it through Viator, or can you book it through the company?
Oh, you can book through the company or Viator, but best experience is called the company, because we can take care of you.
That was our gladiator tour guide, Mirko. Really nice guy, as you can hear. Also, once the fight had finished between me and Amy, the epic battle, he gave us our gladiator names because we got proper certificates, which was sweet, although I think actually we chucked them away yesterday. There's nowhere in the house for them to go.
You're not meant to tell people that.
But your gladiator name was?
Nemesis.
What does that mean, slut?
Yeah. Oh, prick.
Seriously, what does it mean?
Doesn't it mean like she's really angry?
Or, oh, I don't know.
I thought it meant like he did explain it, didn't he?
Nemesis.
I'm going to find out mine while you tell yours.
My name was Maximus the Bigger. That is actually what it means, the Bigger.
The Bigger fighter, a very good fighter.
Nick, you are a very good fighter. I like you.
It says the inescapable agent of someone's or something's downfall.
Or nemesis. Yeah, but nemesis is like your enemy, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, a long-standing rival or an arch enemy.
Yeah.
He didn't say that when he gave it to me. I can't remember what he said.
The Latin, it means something else in Italian.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, really good. Let's move on.
After the gladiator fight that we had, we were in such a rush, obviously, because we were trying to do Rome in a whole day. We got in a taxi and we went to the Colosseum. Now, we'd actually already been to the Colosseum that day, but the queue was genuinely probably about an hour, hour and a half's wait to get tickets. That wasn't even to get in, because you have to wait in one line, then go into the other to actually get in. So we saw the queue and thought, stuff that. Basically, so we went to our gladiator school and we thought, well, we've got a spare bit of time. We were going to go to the Vatican. And again, this is all our own fault because we didn't have too much time. So you really have to plan these sorts of things and make really good judgments on the day. So our judgment was, we've heard so many times that to get into the Vatican, there's really long queues and we might not get there. We had to travel there, travel back for our other tour later. So we made the decision that we're going to go back to the Colosseum later and get our tickets. So moral of the story is, if you want to go to the Colosseum, well, moral story is to plan, first off.
Don't do it in a day.
Maybe get your tickets before, unlike us. Or go in the afternoon because the queues are just way too long in the morning.
Yeah, for sure. So then once we got back to the Colosseum, we got our tickets, we went in, had a little look around. It is an amazing building, isn't it? Like, it's really impressive to see inside and out.
Yeah, really impressive. And once you go in, it is actually quite disorientating as well. Like, it took us about 10 minutes just to find the stairs to go up to the upper level, because that's where obviously you can get your really good views of the whole Colosseum. And you can, well, from every point, you can see that maze I was talking about earlier. So the floor isn't there anymore, what they used to fight on in the centre. So you can see underneath the maze where they used to keep the animals and the slaves and all of that.
Yeah, we said when we were there, it would have been better if we were like with a tour group and there's a tour guide telling you this is this and this is that, because it's best when you're in a place to hear more facts about it. But we managed to find a few bits of writing that explain some parts of it, didn't we?
Yeah.
But still, if you can go with a tour guide, I probably would recommend it. But we were in a rush. We didn't have time for that.
Again, more of the story. Plan your visit.
But it was still really good. Really good. It's such an impressive building. Really good to see.
So later on, we went to a walk-in tour and we went to pizza making class as well.
Yeah, we did.
But before that, should we play a game?
Let's do it. Let's play When in Rome.
So, Nick, you set up this game, so please take the floor and tell us what we've got to do.
Okay, what we're going to do is I'm going to tell you a tradition which either they do in Rome, something that the Romans do, or maybe it's a tradition from another country, or maybe I've made it up. Maybe it's complete bollocks. One example, this isn't in the game, but for example, if I said to you, oh, I don't know, in the afternoon, all the shops close, everyone goes home for a nap, what country would that be?
Spain with a siesta.
Correct. That's the kind of thing we're going for. So, the first one, okay, you ready?
Yep.
Some hotels in this country don't have a 17th floor. It's because the number is considered unlucky. So you think that's Italy, or do you think that's another country, or have I made it up?
That's a good one. Well, I know in China, they have a lucky number, which is number 8, because of that. Was it HSBC advert? It was definitely A advert.
Yeah, I think so. Or like Red's lucky or something like that.
Well, it was the number 8 because they were all bidding for, in like an auction, for a number plate with just the number 8.
Oh, yeah.
So that's like the luckiest thing you can have in China. So I got a feeling that it's kind of like 8. I don't think it's Italian. I would say it's more of an Asian thing.
They love their unlucky,
yeah,
lucky stuff.
I'm going to go with China.
Okay. By the way, you don't have to guess the country, but if you do, that's impressive.
Extra points.
Yeah. But you're wrong. It is Italy.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Really?
And it's to do with, interestingly, the Roman numerals, because the Roman numerals for 17, it kind of spells out death, or it looks like death. Yeah, in a certain way. I don't know. Something to do with the Roman numerals. But yeah, 17 is unlucky in Italy.
That's mental.
Who knew? Next one. If you see a single magpie, a bird, you can mitigate the bad luck it brings by greeting it with the salutation, "Good morning, Mr. Magpie, and how is your lady wife today?"
Well, I think that's an English thing, because it's 1 for sorrow, 2 for joy, 3 for a girl, 4 for a boy, 5 for...
What's it, magpies?
Yeah. Have you never heard that? The black and white birds, right?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah.
1 for sorrow, 2 for joy, 3 for a girl, 4 for a boy. I can't remember what the rest of the rhyme is, but so I'd say that's an English thing.
Yeah, so it's not Italian. No. You are correct.
Yes.
You have 1 point so far.
Is it an English thing?
It is. It's an English thing.
Yeah.
I bet people around the world, if they listen to that now, they'd be thinking, them English are fucking mental. Yeah. What are they talking to birds for? But yeah, that is an English thing.
I didn't know you had to talk to the birds, though. What do you have to say?
Yeah, you have to say, good morning, Mr. Magpie, and how is your lady wife today?
Oh, okay. I'll do that next time.
Weird. Okay, next. Wife carrying is a fully endorsed sport in this country, with competitors from all over the world congregating, taking part each year for the Wife Carrying Championships.
Okay.
The sport itself is said to date back to the 19th century.
Right. When you first started reading it, I thought it'd be something like Ukrainian or something. I don't know why, that just came into my head.
Okay.
But also, the Italians are romantic people. I guess that's quite a romantic task, isn't it, to carry a woman? And you do it typically once you've got married and you're walking into your first home together, you do it.
True. So yeah, do you think it's a Roman-Italian thing, or is it something else?
Well, I haven't said anything's Italian yet, so let's go with it's Italian.
You are incorrect.
Ah.
It's actually from Finland.
Okay.
Yeah, they love a bit of wife carrying.
Right. For any reason? Like, Was there a reason why it came about?
I'm sure there is a reason, but I don't know what it is.
Who is it that, this might be one of the things, who chases cheese down a hill?
Yeah, that's an English thing.
Oh, it's us. That's weirdos again.
Yeah, chasing wheels of cheese.
What the hell?
It looks really dangerous because you go down a really steep hill, don't you?
I swear people have died from doing that before.
I think so. Yeah. It looks really dangerous.
It's insane.
But fun to watch. Next, if you are single and you see someone sweeping the floor, make a run for it. If someone brushes over your feet by accident, then you're destined to be single for the rest of your life.
Okay. I'm going to go with Italian again.
Correct.
Yes.
Well done. That is Italian. You got 2 points so far.
Out of?
Four. Two out of four.
Okay, 50%.
You're doing well. Okay, next. Bread is considered a symbol of life. Therefore, it's bad luck to turn the bread upside down or stick a knife into it.
How do you cut slices of bread then?
Exactly. It's weird, isn't it?
I am going to say that's Italian as well because obviously the Pope lives there and it's quite a religious place. And bread and wine, it's all religious stuff.
Amy, you're doing well. That's correct. That is Italian. Next one coming at you. On New Year's Eve, everybody swaps wives with their next door neighbour to the left.
Can that be our thing, please?
Whoa. Only because the Bangladesh family, Shafia, lives next door.
I don't even know what her husband's name is. But I'm going to find out in a bit. Next New Year's, I'm going to find out.
If only they knew, they're getting a shout out on the world famous What the Faux podcast.
Right, what was the fact again? I just got lost in thinking about this Bangladeshi guy.
New Year's Eve, everybody swaps wives with their next door neighbour to the left.
That could be an Italian thing because they, like I said, they're quite romantic. Well, it's not romantic, but they love sex and women, don't they?
Don't know. Isn't that more like a South American thing?
Yeah, but I think the Italians have got a rep, haven't they?
So what do you think?
I'm going to go with Italian.
That is incorrect. Oh. And in fact, it's completely made up.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, so no points there.
So you made that up just having a little dream, were you?
It's weird that that's the thing I made up, but
yeah.
I was just trying.
No, it's on your mind.
I was just trying to think of something funny. Next, there is a festival. Actually, this is weird that this would be on my mind. So, is it made up or is it not? There's a festival in this.
So, have you just given that away? This one's not going to be true.
Yeah, I've given nothing away. There is a festival in this country where people dress as penises. They eat penis-shaped sweets and create giant iron penises to carry through the streets. So, penis festival.
Okay, so when we was in Indonesia, they had quite a fascination with phallic-type things.
Yeah, wooden cocks.
Yeah, so when you go around the markets there, they just have loads of cocks everywhere. And I've seen a lot of Thai pictures as well. I think there's some sort of like, maybe it is a festival, but they have this place where you can go and there's just loads of giant cocks everywhere. It's a bit weird. But equally, we learn, was it a Simon Reeve program? Where I said the fact on one of our episodes where Bumting was a city or a village and the next one along was called like Cocktang or something. Like
Pootang. Bumting and Cumtang.
Something like that. I am going to go with that's a Thai thing.
Well, it's not Thai, but you're correct. It's not Italian. Yeah. It's actually a Japanese thing, which I'm surprised about.
Because
I thought, no sex, please. We're Japanese. I didn't think they were into that. But
clearly they are.
Penis fest. The final fact or maybe non-fact, but I should say Italian thing or non-Italian thing. Shoving your face into your birthday cake or shoving someone else's face into a birthday cake. Is that an Italian thing or something else?
Boom, I know what it is.
Go on.
Well, if you say this is wrong,
then you're wrong.
It's a Mexican thing.
You are correct.
And I know that because when I was younger, my best friend was Mexican and I went to Mexico with her and we was at her birthday party, which was like a surprise birthday. She didn't know what it was going to be happening. And because she lived in England, it was really nice for her to see all of her Mexican friends. And I thought, oh, lovely, whatever. Like trying to like get in with everyone, even though I didn't speak their language. And then suddenly I see someone smashing Gabby's face into a cake. And I was like, oh my God, what's going on? I was only 12. I didn't know what was going on. I thought like, man, her friends don't like her.
It's her birthday. It's so mean.
But no, that's tradition.
You are absolutely spot on. That is a Mexican tradition. That means you've done quite well, actually.
Why are you surprised?
Yeah, you've done quite well. You have got 5 out of 8 correct.
That's pretty good. I'm
quite
happy with that.
Good going. And we've all learned a bit of weird, some weird traditions from around the world. Penis festival and wife carrying.
Amazing. Right, so we said we was going to talk about our walking tour and our pizza making class as well. By this point, we were getting a bit tired in the day. We have done our, we've been to the Colosseum, to the Gladiator School. Yep. Then we went back to the Colosseum. And then we were heading across town. So we had to get on the metro, which, by the way, is very easy to use.
Mm, so simple, yeah.
And we didn't even have to go up to a human being to get a ticket. So their machines are far less complicated compared to ours. Literally just put your money in and you're good to go.
Well, we went to the Spanish Steps to meet our tour group.
Yes, that's it. Within this point, again, plan, people, because we didn't have any time to eat. So this is really gross, and I'm embarrassed to say this. We thought we need something quick. We saw someone eating a Burger King. Oh, no, McDonald's. Oh, giving them both a shout out there. Nick actually ran up to them and was like, where did you get your McDonald's from?
I must have looked like such a disgusting English person. Where's the McDonald's?
I'm hungry. I have never ever, I mean, we, and I'm being honest here, we never really go to McDonald's. But I have never been to such a hectic place in all my life. I was waiting in the queue for the toilets for about half an hour while you were in the queue waiting for our food. You ordered it on the screen and then you're waiting in the queue for it. Oh my goodness. And we were waiting so long, we were going to miss our tour. So we had to leave with no food.
Yep.
And then catch our tour. So we didn't really eat this day either.
Yeah, it was rubbish. But
stressful.
Like you said, just plan it better.
Yeah, but it was worth it. Like, I'd rather not eat and see Rome.
Oh, yeah. But no, that was not just the busiest McDonald's in the world. That was the busiest place in the world. I can't believe the amount of people in that McDonald's. So, yeah, we never got our food. So then we went straight to the Spanish Steps.
Where we met our tour guide, Nina. And within the first few minutes, we found that, well, when we arrived, it was just another couple and her. So it was just five of us on the tour, which was really nice. Like, so you get so much time to ask questions and all of that. But we found out that it was Nina's first tour.
It was, yeah.
First day on the job, which is really cool. And I felt for her because I thought, she's probably so nervous. But then later on, we found out she'd been a tour guide before because she's Slovenian, but she has done tours there and other places as well. So it wasn't technically her first tour, but first tour in Rome.
Yep, and this was with Viator. This is like a Viator episode.
Yeah.
We honest with you guys, we don't get any sponsorship. We're not paid by them. We gave them quite a bit of money.
We didn't get any dollar.
But the thing is, we were looking for a walking tour and a pizza class, and we couldn't do both. And then we saw this tour. They did both. It was a walking tour followed by a pizza class. So we thought, that's two birds in one stone. Perfect. We'll do
that. And we could have got it, when you watch our video, we could have got all of the stuff that we did cheaper, but it was because we were short on time. And this is the time that we did plan. So we knew that the free walking tours, they weren't a good time for us, like in terms of us doing everything we wanted to do.
Yeah.
So we ended up paying for this, which it was well worth the money, but you can get it for free.
It was a good tour. So like we said, it started at the Spanish Steps. Then at some point we went to the Trevi
Fountain. Mm-hmm. Then we walked all the way through Rome following Nina's maps because obviously it was her first time. She had to keep checking her phone, check she was on the right route. And then we got to my favourite place, which was the Pantheon. Now, this place is amazing. It looks stereotypically Roman, where you have this massive triangle at the top of the building with all the pillars, and it looked like a proper Roman building. And then it kind of had an amphitheatre drone type place attached to the back. But the unique thing about this building is it has a massive hole in the ceiling. So obviously my first question was, what happens when it rains? Because all the water is just going to go in on the inside. And it's a really expensive, massive building. It's pretty amazing that it's still standing.
So didn't you find out it's like the largest freestanding dome building in the world or something?
I think I did. Yeah, that's on our video. Again, you can find that on our socials at What the Faux Travel Podcast. But yeah, when we went in, it was just actually one of the most stunning buildings I've ever been in. There was just paintings everywhere. It looks quite regal and religious when you go in there. And obviously there was just so many people in there. So you just slowly walk around and there's all these statues of famous Romans and stuff like that. And it's an amazing place.
Yeah, and this is the thing with Rome. Every corner you turn, you see some building and you think, yeah, even these days, how would you build that? But way, way back then, how they built it is incredible. And obviously everyone's heard of the phrase, Rome wasn't built in a day. But when you're there, you really see what people mean by that. It is incredible, the stuff you see around every corner.
Yeah, definitely. So we carried on walking around with Nina and we went to quite a few monuments. So there was a massive sundial and stuff like that. We went to so many different places and learned a lot of cool things as well. So I remember one thing where we walked to a plaza type square and she said, can you notice anything in the corners of this square? And on the buildings, there was like a Mary, wasn't there, on the buildings. She said, can you think of any reason why there would be Marys on the streets?
Like the Virgin Mary.
Virgin Mary, yeah. So I said things like, wherever you are, you're being overlooked by the Virgin Mary, by God, and all of that sort of thing. But that wasn't the real reason, was it?
No. So the real reason was there's a Virgin Mary, and there's also a candle. Like, I think she's holding a candle, or there's a candle on display to light up the streets, a bit like a street light. So the streets weren't so scary at nighttime, and to, you know, deter gangs and crimes. And then Nina went on to say that actually Rome has always been, to this day, for its size, a very safe city. There's not much crime. She then said, oh yeah, but there is the mafia, but, you know, apart from the mafia, it's actually a really safe city.
Oh, just that small group over there killing quite a few people.
But she said any crime that happens, really, most of it is proper, like, big scale organized crime, yeah, like mafia. But great. Apart from that, it's perfectly safe.
So when you're in Rome, or it might be in other Italian cities as well, but yeah, just remember, the Virgin Mary's always looking at you.
Either her or the mafia. So next, we went, after our walking tour, which was really good fun, we went to our pizza making class, which I was looking forward to the most out of the whole day, I think.
Yeah, and we were with Mario, our chef.
I know. Do you reckon his name's really Dave or something? But for the tour guys, he's Mario.
So, hola. No, it's not hola, is it?
Don't
ciao.
Know.
Ciao. What's wrong with us?
Ciao.
Like, ciao, I'm Mario.
Yeah. But that was really good fun. It was in a restaurant, wasn't it? And then we just went to the back where they had a pizza oven.
Yeah.
We all just took it in turns to make the base. And
it was really cool. And, like, they showed you how to, put the pizza on and all of that. You actually made the dough from scratch. But it needs to sit there for, I think, is it 72 hours or something like that? So you had this, like, massive drawer full of dough balls.
Oh, yeah, ready to go.
He had a lot of dough balls, that guy. So he put our ones in the drawer, obviously, for the next group in a couple of days' time. And taught us how to stretch it out. And it was quite fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, really good fun. You could put your own toppings on. And then I went a bit crazy because I was like, oh, I want that and that. But I ended up with onion and tuna, which is obviously makes my breath stink. And then I'm like, oh, but I want salami with it as well. And obviously cheese. And I had this real mixture that shouldn't really go together, but it was good. And they always say you have to have a really, really thin crust, which is always the best.
Oh, your pizza sounds gross. They're like meat and fish. Ugh.
Oh, man, it was good.
Not nice.
The thin crust is the way forward, isn't it?
Definitely. I love a thin crust.
That's not even that dirty, is it?
It's not. I don't know why it came out so dirty.
I don't know why we're laughing. But it was really cool just to, like, make these pizzas ourselves, put them in the pizza oven with that big pizza tray handle thing.
Yeah,
that you hold.
We should know what that's called. It's, yeah, like a skewer. It's almost like they when you're playing bowls. You know when they, no, what's the ice thing where they, like, shave the ice?
Curling.
Or, yeah, it's it, like it, that, yeah, where they just chuck it in.
Yeah.
But we didn't get to do that. That was a bit I was looking forward to, but Mario did it.
Mario.
Damn you, Mario.
Takes all the glory.
He does.
But once we had our pizzas, we had a couple of beers, sat down, and we just had a nice meal, chatted to the other couple that are on the tour with us.
Yeah, who have a bit of an interesting story as well, because they live in...
They live in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, so because they're not married, we're not going to tell you their names and all of that because we don't want to get them in trouble, but they're a couple, and they're not strictly allowed to be, because obviously the country is really strict and things are quite difficult for women there, but they're not allowed to show that they're a couple, which is really sad.
Well, their situation was they're both Canadian, but they live in Saudi Arabia, but they kind of just live and work within, like, this compound. They never really leave it, because I said to them, oh, what's it like working in Saudi Arabia? Do you like it? They're both like, nope. But for whatever reason, they had like one more year left on their contract of their studies.
Yeah, but I think you can earn really good money there. So it's kind of like you kind of suffer it to get all that money and then you've got an easier life after. But yeah. I don't know whether I could do that.
No.
But, so they're brave people. But so we met them. And also going back to our pizzas as well, I've got a banging picture of mine. I was really proud of my pizza. It did look really good and professional.
Man,
so I'm going to put that up on the social media as well. What the Faux Travel Podcast. Check it out.
Awesome. So when we were all sat there with our group, just chatting about traveling and life and all that stuff, we interviewed our tour guide, Nina.
We did. And this is what she had to say.
Hello. Well, I think that people should really, really visit Rome because it's so rich with all the possible civilizations and cultural heritage that Europe can offer. And I think that it's actually the epicenter of most of the cultures that were present in Europe in general throughout the whole time since Europe exists. So if someone doesn't want to jump from one place to another, you can simply come to Rome and you will see a piece of each of these parts of the history.
That's a good answer. We've just finished a walking tour and a pizza cooking class with you. So if people would like to do the same thing when they're in Rome, how can they get in touch with the company? Like, what's the company that you work for?
It's a Savour Tours in Rome. So you can find us online and send an email. You can also book online. We have several different tours. One of them is like this one that you guys did. The other one is that you make pasta. Then there are also some other tours where that are actually more focused just on cooking, where people prepare, where guests prepare more meals. So check our website, Savour Tours Rome, and you can find all the information you need there.
Ajit, one more thing I wanted to ask. Can you tell us very briefly where you're from in Slovenia? I mean, what's that like? Should people go visit?
Yes, I'm from Ljubljana, the capital, and yes, I would recommend you to visit it. But also when you're going, I would recommend you also to the south of southern of Slovenia, to the Balkans, because also Croatia, Serbia, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Macedonia, they are also really, really interesting interesting countries to visit.
And can I just get a little round of applause for Nina, because this was her first day on the job.
Whoa! Well done.
So that was Nina. Yeah, thanks very much for talking to us. It was really nice to hear about Slovenia as well, but also what she thinks of Rome. And I thought she gave a really good answer as to why people should go to Rome, and I completely agree with her.
Yeah, definitely. You can see, or definitely see and hear, all the passion she's got for Rome. It's really cool. And she's so well traveled as well, so it was really nice to meet her.
Yeah.
And then after that, we left the restaurant and we ended up heading the same way to the metro with her. So we ended up kind of having a second free walking tour, didn't we?
So true. Yeah, we're like, what's that building? What's that? Like, at this point, basically, she's giving us a tour for free.
Yeah.
But we're just asking all these questions about Rome. She said something interesting about they're always trying to expand the metro, like the subway, but whenever they do, they always stumble across some old, you know, Roman ruins. It's really hard to build anything underground in Rome.
Then it's like 5 years of people with little brushes brushing all the extracts that they've found. It's amazing. That city's just full of just so much culture.
Oh, it really is. And then by this point, it's nighttime, it's late. We are exhausted. Mm-hmm. We are knackered, as we say here in Great Britain.
We were going to go on the drinking tour that night as well,
yeah,
weren't
pub
we?
Crawl.
Yeah.
But we went to our hostel, which, by the way, shout out to
amazing.
The Yellow. It's called the Yellow Hostel in Rome. It's right near the main Termini station in the centre of Rome. Really, really cool hostel. We just went to the bar there, had a couple of beers, and you had a cheeky wine. And then after that, we were done, weren't we?
Yeah, which makes us sound really old, but it was cool. But also, yeah, the Yellow is just such a cool hostel. You've got so many things you can do there. Obviously, most places, most hostels have like seating rooms and stuff like that, but it's just got such a cool vibe to it. They do loads of tours themselves. So like we said, the moral of this episode is to plan when you're short on time, especially.
Yeah.
But if you've got loads of time, then I would actually say, if you're going to the hostel, just leave it. By the time you get there, they have special nights every week. Every Friday, they have like live music. And if you're a musician yourself, the cool thing about this place, you can exchange your visit for your talent. So if you're a musician, you can email them before, say, I can play for you on Friday night, and then you get your stay for free.
How good is that? Annoyingly, they also said if you're travel bloggers or anything, and we thought, we might have been able to do some sort of deal with the podcast. But even though we paid, we're still giving them a good shout out. But like you said, if you go there Monday to Sunday, there'll be something going on, and that could keep you busy, just that hostel in Rome.
Definitely.
You'd have a really good time.
So we said it a few times before, but make sure you check out our Rome video, because you'll see all the pretty places that we went, and you can watch us fight and see who won our gladiator fight.
Before we wrap things up, I've got to mention again, end of series 2 party. This is fully, fully happening. We've had so many people get back to us and say, this is a great idea, let's do it. Whether people actually turn up or not, I don't know yet. It might just be me, Amy, Carl and Elena.
We've got a few. Oh, no, I need to give a shout out to Becky, who will
Becky
be
Lovelock.
Coming. Yeah, because she will be coming on our Iceland episode this series. And last time she was like, you didn't give me a shout out.
That's a good impression.
So there you go, Becky. You're coming to the party as well.
She is coming to the party. She said she's going to be dabbing all night long. And that's not a reference to anything illegal. That's a dance move.
I was like, Nick.
Dab. Obviously, no one can see what I'm doing.
He's got his hands in the air.
But yeah, Friday, 30th of June in London. We're not sure yet if it's going to be a pub crawl or just kind of rent a venue and just stay there all night, but it's going to be a big night. Loads of travellers all over the world. Let's do it. Get in touch. Hopefully see you there.
Elena wants to go abroad though. I have heard a few people be like, why are we not going to Thailand or whatever? I mean, I'm up for that. I'm up for anyone who wants to come on a trip with us.
Yeah, I mentioned maybe like Oktoberfest, even though it's in September.
Yeah, but I think we just want like as many people to get together as possible, and that's obviously restricting. Yeah.
London's quite an easy place for people all around the world to get to.
Yeah,
but let's just have a big party. It can go on to the next day, Saturday as well, whatever. Like, yeah. We're open. I think it's mainly Friday because that's when producer Jon's going to be here.
Yes, but the absolute definite thing that's happening is we're all going to get drunk.
Oh, it's going to be a big night.
That's a party, 30th of June. Make sure you contact us. Let us know if you want to come. And if you've got any ideas, anywhere you want to go, we're, like we said, we're open to suggestions.
Yep.
Next month, our episode is...
We're not sure. We make this shit up as we go along. Have you guys not realised this by now?
We're not sure, but we have got loads lined up for the month. It just depends which one we're going to put next. Oh,
so something good will be happening, but we don't know what.
Yeah. So thanks for listening to What the Faux Travel Podcast. We will see you next month.
Bye.
Ciao.
Ah, ciao, Bella. Hello, welcome to the Godfather... No, hold on. Is that, how does he talk again? Welcome you. Okay. Welcome along to the What the Faux Travel Podcast. You are part of the Faux family now, and I respect family.
Don't forget, you guys can get in touch with the show. You can send us an email. Our address is whatthefaupodcast@gmail.com. Faux is spelled P-H-O. On Twitter, we are at Faux Podcast. Also, check us out on Instagram and Facebook as well. With all this social media, this podcast doesn't just come in your ears, we also come in your eyes. Lads, 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 lads.